here we go. Don't you wish you were me? Well, I just want to first welcome all of our Atlanta area churches. We're so glad to have you with us today. If we've never met, my name is Joel Thomas. I'm the lead pastor here at North Point, one of our six Atlanta area campuses. I want to welcome all of them today. Those of you at Brownsbridge, at Buckhead, those of you at Decatur City Church, Gwinnett Church, here at North Point, and then also out at Watermark. I did it in alphabetical order so that nobody would be offended in the order in which I did it. But I want to welcome all of you today. It's probably not what you expected today, but I think we're in for a little bit of an unexpected treat as we look into something that maybe we hadn't thought about or talked about. And what was in the title package was a little bit true. Andy asked me to talk about something very specific. We're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. But I thought we needed to start with something else, given the season. There's a lot going on right now, and I really just, as I've been thinking about, my wife and I have been talking about Christmas plans and things, I don't know if anybody's with me on this, but it seems like Christmas seems to come earlier and earlier every single year. Is that not true? Anybody with me on that? I mean, it is unbelievable, and I don't know what's in the water, what the deal is. I opened up Instagram earlier this week, and there was like a viral competition. Some of you probably saw this on Instagram of people videoing their homes that are all decked out for Christmas already, arguing who did it the earliest on Instagram. I kid you not, you can find it. It's unbelievable. And then same morning, I'm pulling through Starbucks. And by the way, I'm pulling through Starbucks to get my Americano that I get black. And this has been a journey for me. I realized about a month ago, I don't like coffee. I like dessert. And so that's what I usually make my coffee. I wasn't choosy about coffee because I just made it taste like dessert. And I could barely taste the coffee. But I decided, somebody challenged me. I decided I was going to drink black coffee. And so they told me it takes 6 days. A month later, I'm getting there. I'm not fully there yet, but I'm pulling through Starbucks, which is really uncool because I'm pulling through there and they've got their full menu of holiday drinks, like already up with the red cups and everything. So I got a caramel brulee latte. I mean, nothing says dessert in a cup like caramel brulee latte. And if you haven't had one, it's amazing. And it will destroy you trying to drink black coffee if you try to do that as well. But even the weather's gotten in on this. I mean, the last week of October, you with me? If you live here in Georgia, if you're watching online, you may not know what I'm talking about. Just forgive us for a minute. The last week in October felt like summer was still here. And then like we got to November, the first week of November felt like winter. I mean, I don't know what happened to fall. It fell. There was no fall. It just fell to winter. And it's like if all of a sudden people have gone Christmas crazy. And even the weather's in on this. And so this is complicated for me. I'm one of those guys that's like, okay, you don't do Christmas until after Thanksgiving. How many of you with me on that? Okay, look at this. Wow, I thought I was going to have to win you over. This is going to be easy. We'll skip past the introduction of the sermon. So this was complicated for me because Christmas feels like it goes in December and Thanksgiving's month is November. And if you get into Christmas too quickly, we violate Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving's beautiful. Like the brown and orange colors and the tradition of football and all that great stuff. I mean, like we need Thanksgiving. It's a beautiful thing. So here's what I thought we should do as we jump in today. And this is going somewhere, believe it or not. had 35 minutes to fill, so... somewhat kidding. That's kind. If you can't hear at least in this room and Alfredo, they're clapping for me. I'm not sure why. So I thought it was important. I think we need to out the violators of Christmas moving too early into the season right now. So here's the deal. I want you to play along at all of our campuses, okay? If you're watching online and you're with a group of people, you need to out yourself. Here's the deal. I want you to answer a couple questions for me. How many of you, just by show of hands real quick, you've already decorated for Christmas? Pull up your hands really high. Anybody in the room? There. See, we got a few here. I know there's at least one or two at Decatur City Church. So you've already decorated for Christmas. How many of you it doesn't have to be your full playlist. How many of you started listening to Christmas music? Anybody? Okay, there are more hands there. I got somebody waving in the back in the room here. Need security to take her out real quick. And how many of you, we're gonna take this in stages. How many of you completed at least half of your Christmas shopping? Half of your Christmas shopping. Look at that, keep your hands up. How about three quarters of your Christmas shopping? Keep your hands up. How many of you have completed all of your Christmas shopping? Unbelievable. There's like four people in this room. Let's just say there's about three dozen at our different campuses. I have a message for you three dozen people real quick. Just because I know that right now you feel great about where you are in this season and you feel like we're all behind and you're ahead. But here's something I want you to know. There are only 410 shopping days left till Christmas 2015. So you need to get to work. You like to be ahead. You're feeling good now. You're before. Maybe you aren't now. You're back with the rest of us. Here's why I even bring this up. Here's why we're talking about Christmas. And honestly, I've gotten sucked into this as well. You know, we've been talking about some of the exciting things we have coming up for all of our Atlanta area churches this Christmas season. And I really think it's gonna be the best Christmas ever. We've been talking about our family plans for this Christmas, and we have some fun things going on. If you live up here in Alpharetta, some of you, you know, if you're inside the perimeter, I know you don't ever come up here, but if you live up here in Alpharetta, there's a little bit of a competition going on. You may not know this. At North Point Mall in Avalon, North Point Mall for the first time has built this gigantic LED gingerbread house for Santa to be in for Christmas. If you haven't seen it, it's unbelievable because they know the skating rink over at Avalon is already built and ready to go. And so there's a little competition. And you know, I've kind of gotten sucked into this whole thing and getting a little bit excited about Christmas. But then I had a really sobering conversation. I had a sobering conversation with a friend of mine who lost his wife this year. And I realized there's a whole nother side of this going into this holiday season. And some of us are all excited about Christmas, and others of us are excited about the Thanksgiving season, being with family, and all the different fun things that come with this holiday season that we're on the verge of. But there's a whole nother side of this that many of us are wrestling with. There are circumstances in life. There are difficulties. For some of us, we've lost a loved one this year. And this is our first Christmas without them. For others of you, you've experienced a fracture in your family and there's some difficulty. And this is the first Christmas you're gonna spend apart. And you know it's coming. You're not looking forward to it. For some of you, you've experienced recently a failed relationship or maybe a failed marriage. And this is the first Christmas you're gonna spend alone. You're not looking forward to it. So others of you who are dealing with a life-threatening illness, maybe for you or a family member, this is the first Christmas spent fighting that illness, fighting that battle. For some of you, you lost a job. You've had a career change that wasn't your choice. And this is the first Christmas you're just trying to get through, staying above water, trying to make ends meet in this Christmas season. And it's a sobering thing to think about because for many of us, there are some amazing upsides to Christmas and the commercialization of the holiday season. We all love that, and there are some incredible things there. But for many of us, when we come home at night, when we get alone by ourselves, there are things that terrify us. There are things that are creating anxiety for us about the upcoming Christmas season. Now, I want to talk about this for a second, because a couple of years ago in this Christmas season, I feel like God gave me an insight into a passage of scripture that you wouldn't even associate with the holidays or the Christmas season. And this scripture, I feel like for me, provided not some excitement around the holiday season, but provided some relief for me in a season that was a difficult holiday season for me. And in order to jump into that, I want to back up for just a second because there's two big themes in the scriptures. And if you're new to the Bible, if you're new to one of our churches today, I just want to say welcome to you. There are no prerequisites to be here. You're welcome here. And I just want you to know, we love it that you're here. We just hope you come back next week. The guy that's going to speak next week is really awesome. But there are two themes. If you're new to the Bible, there's two big themes that are carried throughout the entire Bible. And the two themes are the Word of God and the light of God. And if you look throughout the Bible, through the Old and New Testament, you see the Word of God and the light of God present in a lot of different ways. The Word of God in the Old Testament, God spoke the world into being. And the prophets of the Old Testament and the priests and the teachers of the law was all centered around God's Word and the law that guided the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, the writings of Paul and the writings of the accounts of the life of Jesus. They're meant to give us direction, to guide us in life. And there's this big theme from beginning to end, all about the Word of God. And there's another theme about the light of God. God's very first words in the Genesis account of creation was, "Let there be light." First recorded words we have of God in the scriptures. Throughout the Old Testament, God is talked about as light. He shines in the darkness. He gives us light to our path. In the New Testament, Jesus was sent as the light of the world to give us direction and life. And we see these themes throughout the scriptures. But here's the really cool thing. Both of these things took center stage not only in the creation of man, but in the recreation of man. You see, in the beginning, God created man exactly the way he wanted him to be and the world he wanted him to live in. And then for many of you, you know the story that sin entered the world and things became broken and marred and not the way God intended. And when God decided to rescue, when God decided to recreate man from the inside out, he sent his very own son to do so. And the Apostle John does a brilliant job explaining these things in one place, a scripture that we would never connect with Christmas, but it connects these two ideas of the Word of God and the light of God, these two meta themes in what I think is the most perfect Christmas or holiday passage there is. And this is what John says in John 1. Some of you have heard this before. It's a very familiar passage. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. John's talking about Jesus. Jesus was a close friend. John was a close friend of Jesus's. They spent a lot of time together. And John, in the very beginning, is referring to Jesus as the Word. Here's why. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the very beginning, the foundation of the world, the creation of the world. And the Word was God. He's establishing that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning, and he was God. And he was part of speaking the words of God. He was part of not only being the Word of God, speaking the words of God and the world into being, man into being. And he was the light. He came to be the light of the world, but he was the light of God in the very beginning, along with God the Father and the Spirit. They're all present in the beginning. And John's just establishing, Jesus didn't start in the New Testament where we read him. He didn't start in the first century. Jesus has been there all along, and he was there in the very beginning. He goes on, he says this, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, check this out, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus, the Word of God, he was light. And he was the light of the world. And that light was the light of all mankind. Nobody's left out. He came to be the light for all people, in all places, everywhere. Huzani says, that light, the light that was the Word of God, shines in the darkness, and that darkness has not overcome it. It will not overcome it. Here's the amazing thing. Do you know that every religion in the world claims to have words that they live by? They have words, they have truth that form the backbone of their religion. And they also, every major world religion, some of you know this, every major world religion claims to be the light in the dark world, the light in the darkness of the world. And here's what I want you to miss. Only in the Christian faith, did the Word become flesh. Did the Word become flesh and dwell among us? Only in the Christian faith. This is what happened at the first Christmas. In the first Christmas, the Word that was God, that was there in the beginning, he came and became human flesh, and he came to dwell among us. You see, in every other major world religion, the words of the religion are something to live by. But the Word is not something for us to live by, but someone who came to live with us. That's what the first Christmas was about. That's why the child that was born was to be called Emmanuel, God with us. In the very beginning, the first Christmas, when Jesus was sent into the world, God came to be with us in a way he had never been with us before. He came among us and became one of us. It was the ultimate convergence of the Word of God and the light of God come to us in what we celebrate now as the Christmas season at that first Christmas. And he was to be called Emmanuel because that is the name for God with us. It was unique. It marked a moment in time. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I mean, that's all really great. And God with us is a great concept, but Jesus isn't here anymore. And for some of us, it's like, okay, you know, with all the challenges and problems in the world, it's great when Jesus showed up, but Jesus left. In fact, it gets worse than that. He left at a really difficult time. In fact, some of you know that when he was having a discussion with the disciples, he basically said, hey, here's the deal. Things are gonna get really bad and they're gonna get harder for you. And the religious leaders, they're gonna start to come after you. And here's what you need to know is I'm leaving. And they're like, what do you mean you're leaving? Well, I'm leaving. I've got to go, and it's really important that I go to where the Father's leading me to, and here's the deal. You're going to be fine. They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean we're going to be fine? And this is what he says. He goes on. John, this is still John's words. Skip down to chapter 14. John says this. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. No, wait, we don't want another advocate. No, we want you. When we ran into trouble, you did a miracle, and people believed. When we got confused by the religious leaders, when they asked us hard questions we couldn't answer, you were there, and you were so smart, you didn't give them answers. You asked them questions that made their questions look silly, questions that they didn't know how to answer, and they went away thinking, we don't know how to do that. And we don't need an advocate. We want you. We don't want you to leave us. I'm going to send you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. He'll be known as the Spirit of Truth. He goes on, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. And then this is different. This is new. And he will be in you. You see, when Jesus came at the first Christmas, this was something new. Jesus came to be with us, God with us for the first time among us in the flesh so that we could experience him. We experience the glory, the scripture tells us, of God in the person of Jesus. But then Jesus said, I'm leaving and I'm gonna send the Spirit of Truth, the same Spirit that's in God, and he will be in you. He goes on, he says, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. What do you mean it's for our good? No. How can this be good? You're leaving us alone. No, I'm not leaving you alone. He goes on, he says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Here's why this is good news. It's because he was gonna send the Spirit to be with us, that same Spirit that was there with the Father and the Word, the Son in the very beginning, who carried the same power and authority of God. But he was not just gonna be with us. He wasn't gonna be limited by a human body, the physical human body that Jesus had to take on to come in the form of God, to be the sacrifice, to be the Lamb of the world. He was gonna not be confined by that. He would not just be with us, but he would be in us. This was good news. They didn't really understand it at this point. This was good news for them. Jesus went on, he said, I have much more to tell you, much more to say to you, but it's more than you can bear, as if what he's already said isn't enough. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. When you run into difficult circumstances, he's gonna give you insight. He's gonna give you understanding. If you'll move toward me, not run away from me. If you'll move toward and lean to the Spirit I'm gonna place inside of you by faith, he's gonna give you understanding and he'll give you insight. He'll give you wisdom. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears from the Father. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He's gonna strengthen you and he's gonna encourage you by reminding you how this all ends, how it all ends, how you're gonna win with me in the end. He's gonna remind you what is yet to come, the life that I have planned for you, all that I have promised you. Then Jesus says this, I think this is extraordinary. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. You see, it's a phrase that we all associate with the Christmas season. It's peace on earth. But if we're honest, not only because of the craziness and the hustle and bustle, the keeping up with the Joneses and all that stuff, but also because of the difficulty of the painful things we've experienced that we're reminded of during the Christmas season, it feels like anything but peace, doesn't it? Oftentimes, it doesn't feel like peace on earth comes with the Christmas season. And Jesus said, I'm telling you these things, that the Spirit is with you, that I will be with you through the Spirit, and I'll be in you so that you can have peace, not because of your circumstances, not because of what's going on around you, but because of what is within you, regardless of what you're going without during this holiday season. He concludes this way. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. I'm not gonna skip over that. There's difficulty. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the whole world. You could trust me. I have power. I have the power of the Father demonstrated at the beginning of the world and the creation of the world as God spoke the world into being. And I came and I conquered sin and death on your behalf, that you could have a life that you could have no other way, reconnecting with your Heavenly Father. And I'm gonna place my spirit inside of you, and peace in the holiday season or any other season in life doesn't come by resolving the problems of the present. In this world, you will have trouble. See, peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of difficulty. Peace comes not by resolving the problems of the present, but by resting in the promise of his presence. You see, for you and for me, all of us, there's a lot of things vying for our attention this holiday season. There'll be a lot of difficult things. Some of those will be amazing things that we'll move our attention toward. They'll capture our hearts. They'll capture our imaginations. And there'll be some difficult, some painful things that have a way of getting our attention in an acute way because of the difficulty of those circumstances. And the truth is one of two things will win your attention this holiday season. I believe for all of us. And it'll be either the problems of the present, the difficulties of what's going on, the difficulties of the season and the circumstances, or the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. The problems of the present or the promise of his presence. And the truth is one of those two things will be the thing that wins out. Now, I don't want to make light of some of the circumstances that some of you may be experiencing. In fact, several years ago, I reflecting on a very difficult season in my life. In fact, talking through some of this with my personal counselor, I was talking about a season in my life that I've shared some of the story with you about losing my dad. Some of you know that when I was 17 years old, I was right in the middle of my senior year in high school. My dad had had cancer, and truthfully, my dad was my hero. I thought he could beat anything. I was probably like a typical teenager. I was in denial, and I just didn't think we were gonna lose him. And during that season, it was really difficult for me because there were some people I looked up to in our church that told me that, hey, you just need to pray in Jesus' name because the scripture teaches if you pray in Jesus' name, God will give us what we ask for. And so I prayed over and over. I prayed in Jesus' name that God would save my dad, that he would heal him, but he didn't. And I remember that first season after my dad passed away. I remember that first holiday season like it was yesterday, vividly. And I remember reflecting on all those prayers and thinking that God had sort of broken a promise to me. And I remember being confused. I remember being lost. I remember feeling hurt. I remember being disappointed. In fact, I just remember being mad. I was just angry. I carried that with me for a lot of years. And I just remember just that turning into bitterness and difficulty. And one of the breakthroughs for me was a conversation I had with my mom. And I was talking with my mom because years later, I started to get some perspective as I matured and got a little older. In those years, right after we lost my dad, I never really thought about what my mom went through. I mean, I had an older brother and a younger sister, and my brother was off at college. I was in the middle of my senior year of high school. My sister was in middle school. And you know, in our worlds, I couldn't think of anything outside my world. This was so, for me, it was just so unexpected, and I had never experienced anything like this, and I didn't have the maturity to handle that and deal with that. And in that season of life, I had no one who could really help me walk through that. And so I remember years later, as I began to start to wrestle with that, and some of those things that were undone in my heart, I remember having a conversation with my mom. And I just wanted to kind of figure out, what was that like for her? I mean, here's a woman who'd become my hero. I mean, she not only maintained her faith in God, but she helped three kids maintain their faith in God. She put us through college. She'd been a stay-at-home mom. She went back to work. I mean, here's a woman who just, for me, I just thought, how in the world do you do that? I mean, you don't even have time to think about you. You've got responsibilities and you're kind of left alone. How did you do that? And I remember talking with my mom about that, and we were having a specific conversation about that night that my dad passed away. And I remember it was, some of you have heard me tell this story, parts of this story, but that night my mom just had wisdom, and she brought us around my dad's hospital bed. It was in our house, and the nurse had gone home for the night, and I think my mom just sort of knew. She knew that this was gonna be it. And she gathered us around, and we began to talk to my dad about how much we loved him. He couldn't speak at this point, but we could tell by his expressions that he was receiving what we were saying to him. And we talked about how much we loved him. And then my mom led us as we prayed. And then I asked my mom, I said, well, what happened after we went to bed? I never asked her. I don't think I wanted to know. Like, what happened in those moments and the hours between when I went to bed and my brother and sister, when we went to bed, and when we woke up in the morning and my dad had passed? I want you to tell me what happened. My mom went on to tell me about how they struggled, how she sat there and she watched him struggle. He struggled physically, but way more than that, struggling emotionally, not wanting to let go. She could tell his anguish. And then my mom told me something that marked me. It made it a lot more possible for me to deal with what I was wrestling with in my heart. This is what she said. She said to my dad, she said, Glenn, you have led us and taught us all these years that we don't have to be afraid of what life brings our way because God is with us. We will be okay, I promise. God is with us. And with that, my dad took his very last breath. You see, in that moment, in life's most overwhelming moment, the presence of God was enough for the two people that were at the epicenter of the struggle. Here's what I want you to know. If you're entering into this season and you're going without, you're mourning the loss of, you're in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a struggle, here's what I want you to know. The good news of the first Christmas, as you spend this first Christmas without, is enough for you. And if you'll lean into the promise of his presence within, God with you will be enough. So here's how I want to conclude, just a minute. I want to conclude because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for some of you, but I'm not only just going to pray for you today. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff that's coming for Christmas, but here's what I want to do. I want us to pray for each other in this holiday season. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to make us all stand up everywhere and hold hands across the aisles, and we're not going to do that. But here's what I'd like for you to do. Some of you are social media people. Some of you are not. I get that. It's fine. But here's what I'd like for us to do with six Atlanta area churches and a community this large. We're trying to figure out, how do we shrink this down and be together, to be for each other in this season? And so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray for each other. Here's what I'd like for you to do. If this is a season for you, that this is a first Christmas without someone, or a first Christmas dealing with something you haven't dealt with before, here's what I'd like for you to do. As generally or as specific as you'd like to on either Facebook or Twitter, I would love for you just to post and ask for a prayer request. I mean, we don't take prayer requests in church, but today we're gonna take prayer requests at all six of our Atlanta area churches and for anybody who's watching online. And here's what I'd love for you to do. I'd just love for you to post it online. And I'd like for you to use this hashtag right here, First Christmas. And here's what's gonna happen. We got a whole bunch of people that are standing by. And I'm gonna ask a bunch of you to go on and search this hashtag and begin to pray for people in our church, in our community, who are heading into the holiday season. And what's not top of mind for them is what size Christmas tree they're gonna get, or whose presents they're gonna buy, or what, where they're gonna go see Santa, whether they're gonna see the real Santa down at Phipps Plaza, or they're gonna see the other Santa up here at North Point Mall. They're not thinking about any of that stuff. They're thinking about the fact that this is the first Christmas they're gonna spend alone, without that person, or in the midst of this illness. And I think this is what the church is for. We should be here to pray for each other. How do I know people are gonna pray for me? So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I want you to search it. As you read some of these, if you decide you're gonna pray for that person, if you're gonna pray for them at that moment, I just want you to like or favorite their post. That's what you're gonna do. We're all gonna do this. We're gonna do it for each other. And so if you'd like to be prayed for, or if you wanna pray for people, or both, I'd just love for you to post it right here online on Facebook and on Twitter. And then we're gonna pray for each other at this hashtag. In just a second, I'm gonna pray for you here before we close the service. But here's another thing I'm gonna ask you. And if he were here, he would be really uncomfortable with this, but he's not here. So I'm gonna talk about Andy with him not being here, okay? Here's the deal. This guy is here for all of us 365 days a year. He is one of my heroes. He has not only taught me truth for 16 plus years, but he has pastored me. He has pastored my family. And he is in the midst of a difficult struggle right now as he is with his mom in what looks like some of the last days. And here's what I want you to do. I want you, some of you, to just take up the mantle to pray for him and for his mom and his family. We know that we're all mortal. And so at some point, we all come to the end of life, and you pray however you want to pray. Pray according to what God puts in your heart. But just pray that they would experience the overwhelming presence of God in the midst of the circumstances that they're in. Would you do that with me? I would just wish a bunch of you, all of our churches, would just take a moment this week, over the next couple of weeks, to pray for them, for their family, as they're in the midst of a difficult thing on the verge of a season, holiday season. It may be a first for them. I'd love for you to pray for them. And as we close the service, I just wanna pray for some of you. And here's what we're gonna do. I'd just love for you to close your eyes. I'm not gonna make you do anything strange. Here's what I'd love. If you're one of those people and you're in this season, I'd just love for you on your lap to turn your palms up. There's nothing magical about this. I'd just love you to put your hands down and put your palms up. This is kind of an attitude of receiving. Just to turn your hands up. I wanna pray for you at all of our churches. If this is a season for you where you need an extra measure of the presence of God in your life, my prayer isn't gonna do anything magical, but I'm gonna pray that in this season, somehow, that what will win is not the problems you're in the midst of, that you won't be overwhelmed by that, but that you'll overcome with the one who overcame this world, and you'll experience the promise that God made to all of us of his presence with us in this Christmas season. So if you just turn your hands up, if you'd like, I'm gonna pray for us as we close our service today. God, thank you. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone. That you didn't, when we messed up the world, you didn't just write us off. That you went to incredible lengths. You came a long way. You came from heaven all the way to earth. As you humbled yourself, becoming a man, becoming among us, being one of us. And then after you gave your own life and you broke the power of death through the resurrection, and you went to sit right hand with the Father, you sent one that could be in us and made it possible wherever we are to be with us, present in the midst of whatever circumstances we're in. God, thank you that you were with my mom and dad January 4th, 1992. God, I pray that you would be with Andy and Sandra, his mom, their family, this morning, say sit at the hospital. I pray that you'd be with them in a powerful way that experience your presence. God, I pray for people that are scattered all over our Atlanta area churches, people that are watching online across the country and around the world. I pray that you would be with them, that in this season as we celebrate Emmanuel, we celebrate the Prince of Peace, as we celebrate this Christmas season, I pray that what would be top of mind, I pray that what we would carry with us throughout is your presence with us, both in the peaks and in the valleys of life, and that your presence would be enough, that it would support and it would strengthen and it would help us to overcome regardless of the circumstances we're in. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.